Tuesday the 5th of May, Yud Aleph Eor, Rabbi Joseph Freilich, Saving One's Fellow Man, How Far?
Good morning everybody, today's Tuesday, and that means that we can still make Havdalah for last Shabbos if necessary, if you haven't managed to make it till now. Because Tuesday still belongs, the first 3 days, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, still belong to the previous week. It also means that if you've got to speak and start the day the Torah away, you can still speak until Tuesday, you can still speak, and last week said it follows from Abdullah. Now what we're going to speak about this morning in Yetzir Shem, I want to speak about the mitzvah in Pashas Kedoshim of Loi Samoid Al Dam Riecho. You shall not stand idly by the blood of your fellow man. But if you see somebody in danger of life, somebody's drowning, you can't just walk on and say, I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry, I've got to go to Shear, important Shear, and start the day. Starting in 5 minutes, I've got no time to rescue you. You've got to rescue him, right? You listen to start the day on the internet afterwards. But you've got to rescue him. There's an issa of Lysam and Adam. If you don't, and the poor fellow drowns, then, Chas V'Sholom, you can, it's regarded almost tantamount to murder. It's not mamish murder because you didn't do it for your dime, but it counts its equivalent, as forum say, as if you're mamish shofet domi. I always used to have a slight problem with this, because we believe that everything is hashgacha, and that if a person's drowning in the river, and I've got to save him, well, if I don't save him, Rabbanu Shlomo will see to it that somebody else will save him. Or he'll find a piece of wood to hold on to, or the current will take him to this side. Somehow or other, Rabbanu Shelolam won't let this person die just because I went off to a shear. And if he does die, that means Rabbanu Shelolam intended him to die and want him to die, and even if I try to save him, I won't be able to save him. So therefore, it doesn't really depend on me how he'll say, if I don't save him, then I'm responsible for his death. How does that work exactly? It's a problem that's always bothered me. And then I remember once, when I was a young man, and I decided to learn how to drive. And I took, you know, driving lessons from a driving school, and the fellow came around in his car, and he said, do you have any idea about driving? And being a young fellow I was, you know, I'd messed around in fields and things with lorries, and, you know, pressed buttons and then steered the steering wheel. I said, yeah, I know basically how to drive, you know, I just need to polish it up a little bit, you know, so I'm willing. So he says, okay, get in the car, and let's see what you can do, start a drive. So down Golders Green Road, in the middle of all the traffic, I had to drive, you know, I'd never done this sort of thing before. And he took me, I remember, around down Queen's Road, and across Hendon Central, big roundabout with people crossing the road. There was people coming and mothers with babies. I thought I was going to knock them down. I was mamish in a panic. But Baruch Hashem, you know, I managed somehow. And I got across to the other side. And then he said, okay, let's pull into the side and park and let's have a little talk about things. So I pulled in and I said, well, that wasn't too bad, was it? And he said, wasn't too bad? He says, you would have killed at least 6 people had I not used the dual control brakes. And I thought, oh, I was wondering how it came. I'd never knocked down any of those people. I'm sure it's going to knock them down. Now, imagine I was doing a driving test. And in the driving test, the tester would have to use the dual control brakes. I finished, I failed the test. Yeah, you've killed people. I mean, I haven't killed anybody. They're all alive, they're all walking around. Yeah, but if I've got to press the dual control brakes, then you fail the test. The Chokhmah is a test, is whether you can drive, not whether I can do things. So Rabbi Joshua puts us here into this world, and he gives us all sorts of circumstances, and mitzvahs here, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to save somebody's life, somebody's in danger. You forget about Rabbi Joshua, forget about Shkocha Protis. It's all up to you. You've got to match, it's all up to you. Of course, if you don't do it, I might have to get somebody else to save him, or I might have to get a piece of wood to untold him. But if I've got to come in and save this person, then you've failed. As far as you're concerned, you've killed somebody. This is the philosophy behind it. So, what exactly is the mitzvah? So, to read out to you, it's basically the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the Shulchan Aruch brings in the Chosh Mishpat, Harayas Chaveira Taveya Bayom, you see somebody drowning in the sea, I list him boy no love, robbers coming to attack him, to kill him, a chayo rov or love, or wild animals, v'yochel atzilai, hu ba'atzmai, and he is able to save them by himself, he's able to save them, by sheyiska acherim lahatzil, or he can go and he can hire other people, professionals, to come out and save him, even though it's going to cost them money, v'lahitzil, and he didn't save him, oi, sheshama akum, oi moistim achashvim olav roim, I time them like pach. He's heard that people are plotting things, the terrorists are planning to get him. And he didn't tip off, he could have tipped his friend off, listen, they're going to get you tonight, you know, make sure you're not at home, escape quickly. And he doesn't tell him, then he's over on this Lysamad al Amrecho. Oi, sheyoda ba'akum, oi ba'anus, shuhu bo'ad chaveira, he knows there's a guy who's really angry with him, and he wants to kill him. But I'm quite well in with this guy, and I'm able to talk him out of it. I can appease him and quieten him, maybe I have to bribe him a little bit, but I can talk him out of harming this person, and I don't do it, then I'm over on the Issa of Lai Samad Adam Reacho. Now the Gemara says also that there's another pasuk in connection with Hashavas Avedo, and it says if you see a fellow man's ox or the goat walking down the road is Toya Basari, is wandering off, is going to get lost. Then you've got a mitzvah of a Hashem voice, or no, you've got to return it, take it, and return it, bring it back to its owner. And the Gemara Darshan's from the Loshen Hashem voice, Soi Loi, you've got to return him to him, saying that this includes Hashavas Gufoi. And what is it if a person, if I'm about to lose my cow, then it's a mitzvah for you to reunite the cow with me, to get the cow back to me so that I don't lose my cow. Well, my life is as important to me as my cow, so if I'm about to lose my life, then of course you've got a mitzvah, the mitzvahs are safe, I'm actually voice alive, to make sure, ensure that I don't lose my life, and you, so to speak, it's a form of Hashavas Aveda. It's Hashavas Gufar. Now the Gemara even asks, so if you've got a mitzvah, a say of a Hashavas Gufoi, why do you need this whole pasuk of Lai Samad Adam Reecho? And the Gemara says that Hashavas Gufoi, Hashavas Avedo, Hashavas Mamoinoi, has got a limitation. Right? That Hashavas Mamoinoi, I've just got to do with me myself. If I can go and get the fellow's cow and bring it back to him, okay. But for me, if I can't do it, I'm not strong enough, I can't hold that. But I can hire somebody, I've got to spend money and go to somebody, quick, go and get Yanam's cow. That I'm not mechuyev to do. It's just me personally, what I can do myself. But to go to any trouble or to go to any expense, you know, that I don't have to do. Now, on the other hand, right, in the case of human being, when I've got to save somebody's life, right? There I'm a chuyev, even if it means I can't save myself, somebody drowning in the river, and I can't swim for toffee nuts, but I've got somebody around the corner, quickly run to his house, knock on it, please come in, jump in the river, and do it. Maybe he's a lifeguard, he knows exactly how to save people, and he says, okay, I'll do it, but you know, I'm going to charge you £200 for this. I must be prepared to lay out the £200. Please come along, here's your £200, and get him to come along. This is what we need in Lai Samad Adam Recho. So in that way, to save somebody's life is more than saving his money. Now, the interesting thing is that this mitzvah, although I must be prepared to lay out money, and it could be I might have to lay out £1,000 or thousands of pounds, I've got to do it to save somebody's life, I've got to lay it out. But later on, after we pull the fella out of the river, says the Rosh, you know, I'd come to him and say, excuse me, I'm very happy to see you here, nice and dry, and you're out of the river, but you know, it cost me £500, you know, to save you, and to pay somebody, right, or 200, whatever it was, you've got to be honest about it, and it's not a method of making it cost me whatever it cost me. I show him the bills I had to pay, you know, and please, can you reimburse me? Right? I mean, you know, in Switzerland, if somebody goes mountaineering and you know, people fall off the mountain, you hang from a rope, you've got to get the lifeguards to come out, and they've got to bring helicopters, and you know, it can cost you a few thousand pounds, you know, to bring out this whole thing, and you have to pay. So, a person, you know, I am not mechuyev to suffer the loss myself. It's not a mitzvah for me to lose money. It's a mitzvah, I could do everything to save him. I might have to lay out the money, but I'm not mechuyev to lose money. And therefore, if he's got money to pay, I can claim the money from him. If he hasn't got money to pay, I can't say, listen, this is a poor fellow, you know, he hasn't got a penny to his name. If I save him, I lay out £1,000, you know, I'll never get this back from him. Now, that I can't be misrashel, I can't refrain from saving him because I feel I'm not going to get the money back. I've got a chiyuv to save him whatever it takes. But afterwards, I can come along and I can claim it. If he's got no money, so he's got no money. Just like anybody else, that happens in life. And people owe you money and they haven't got any money and you can't get it from them. It's too bad. It's one of these things we have to suffer. But if he hasn't got money, so he doesn't pay. But he owes me the money. And I'm convinced, I haven't seen this before, but I'm sure this is the case, that if next week he wins the lottery, well, I can say to him, listen, you've won £1 million, you know, I had to lay out so much, you know, please can you now pay me the money, which I would be entitled to do that. Of course, I can only charge if I manage to save him myself, and I lose out, it costs me money because my time is money, I could have earned money during that time. Then of course I can claim as well for lost kapoil bottle, I can claim for loss of earnings. Listen, you can't, I can't claim enormous amounts of money, I can't say to him, listen, your life, you know, it's a wealthy fellow, is drowning in the river, and I say, listen, I saved your life, how much is your life worth to you? Right? I'm sure your life's worth at least £1 million, any time you pay £1 million to save your life. So I've given you your life, so give me the £1 million. Right? I've got no right to do that. Right? I haven't lost £1 million through this. So therefore I've got no claim on his £1 million that I can't do. Right? Then it's the same as a doctor's in a similar position. If a doctor's called out to somebody, it's an emergency, he's got to come. A doctor can charge money because, you know, this is my loss of earnings. If I wouldn't come to you, I could earn money. It's interesting that I remember a case some years ago. There was a doctor, he was called abroad. There was some case, somebody was deadly ill and the hospital had given up on him. And this doctor, they called this doctor here from London, they thought that he might be able to help, and he flew out on Shabbos, it was a Mamshus, Konos of Foshes, he flew out on Shabbos, and he thought he could help this person. He said, I'm going to bring him back to England, I'm going to bring him to a hospital, where they'll be able to give him this and this treatment. He got a ticket for him, and he brought him back, and he managed to save this person's life. And afterwards, the family wanted to pay him, how much do we owe you, doctor? And he said, I can't charge you any money, because I can only charge money for loss of earnings. And it's Shabbos. I couldn't have earned any money in Shabbos. There's no money I could have earned. So I haven't lost any money. Right? So just pay me my expenses, the money which I had to lay out for the tickets and things, you pay my expenses, but I can't charge you anything for my actual services because I haven't lost any money. Now, obviously, you know, I can't make any conditions, you know, the person's down in the river, you've got this coming back to this wealthy man, and they say, listen, I'm prepared, he's shouting, help, you know, I say, okay, I'll help you, don't worry, I'm coming, and I'll help you, but it will cost you £1 million, are you prepared to pay me £1 million? Then even if he says, yes, I'll pay you £1 million, even if he, without asking, he offers, please help me, I'll pay you £1 million, anybody there? No, when he comes out of the river, he can laugh at me. He says, don't be silly. You know, I'm not going to pay £1 million. You know, Meshata Anibok. This is the din of Meshata. I promised this under duress. You know, it's got no validity at all. You can't claim this from me. So we can't claim anything from a person in order to save him. I remember some years ago, there was a man, lived here in Golders Green. He's a lady, and Oilem Emes now. But in his younger years, many, many years ago, in his younger years, he liked a certain girl and he wanted to marry her, and he asked her a few times to marry her, and she was hemming and hawing. She couldn't make up her mind whether she would marry him. And this man, he had a farm, and she came once to visit him on his farm, and he took her around, he showed her all the animals, everything, and she said, "Can I have a ride on one of the horses?" He said, "Yeah," he said, "with pleasure." She got up on the horse, and he held the reins, and you know, started walking along with the horse, and then all of a sudden in the middle, he started to run. And he ran and he ran with his horse. The horse started to gallop, rum, rum, rum. If you've ever been on a horse that's galloping, if you're not used to it, you know, it's the most scary thing. You feel this is the end of your last minute has come. You're finished, you know. And she started to scream, "Stop, stop, you know, let me down." And he said, "Well, will you marry me? Will you marry me?" And she said, "Yes, yes, I'll marry you, you know." And, you know, and she stopped the horse. Now, Baruch Hashem, they lived very happily, they got married. They lived very happily for many years. Yeah? And after he was nifter, she wrote a book about her early life and the town where she grew up. And this story, she gave me a copy of the book, and this story is mentioned in the book. But seriously speaking, when she got off the horse, and he would have said, "Okay, now will you marry me?" She says, "Don't be silly, you know, I'm not marrying an idiot like you." But she was willing to, so it happened she was willing that when she did marry him, it wasn't under duress. It was completely out of her own free will. How the psychology of that worked, how that sort of tipped the balance. Maybe she saw how eager he was, or that this was a fellow with real spunk, or he was a fellow with fun, you know, whatever it is. But she did it out of her own free will. So, but that is it. But under normal circumstances, if a girl is drowning in the river and I'll say, "Okay, I'll save you, but will you marry me?" And she says, "Yes," you know, that's got absolutely no validity whatsoever. Now, what happens the other way around? If the matzil, the saver, can't make any conditions, he's got to save unconditionally, no payment, no, nothing that you've got to do for me, I've got to save you. But what if the person who's being saved, if he makes conditions? Now that sounds a little bit funny, but there was a celebrated case once. There's a tshuva, I've seen this brought in several sforim. It apparently, the original tshuva is a long tshuva, and I haven't seen the full text of it brought anywhere. But the case briefly was this. This was about 250 years ago in Amsterdam. There was a man, elderly man, and he got very ill, and he was going to die. His doctor said, you know, he's going to die, and there's only one thing that can cure him, and that is he's got to drink the milk of an ass, of a donkey. I don't know exactly what illness gets cured with the milk of a donkey, but that you'll have to ask Dr. Harris. He'll explain it to you exactly what illness it is. Doesn't matter, even if you can't explain it, and even if modern medicine says there's no such illness, but if at that time they thought that's what it was, we only go by what the doctor says at that time, whether he's right or not, whether medicine has got it right, or whether medicine hasn't got it right. We have to go according to medical opinion. If medical opinion says we've got to do a certain thing like solus nefoshes, then we've got to do it. We've got to be mechalel Shabbos. We've got to eat in Yom Kippur. The doctor says you must eat in Yom Kippur. Even if I say, "Listen, I feel perfectly fine," the doctor says, "Listen, you've got diabetes, or you've got a heart disease. You must eat in Yom Kippur. Never mind how you feel. You have to listen to the doctor." Right? This is the chiyuv. So this doctor said he must eat ass's milk. So the children said, "Daddy, you know, the doctors told us that you've got to eat the milk of an ass in order to cure you." This old man says, "Eat safer milk? No way! I'm not going to do it. I've lived for 90 years. Never has a piece of safer food passed my lips. I will not, in my last days of my life, contaminate myself with eating safer food. No way! I don't care if it is, but you'll die. I don't care if I die. I will not eat safer food." "No, what do you do with such a person?" So the children said to the doctor, "You know, what can we do with our father? You know, So the doctor said, "I'll tell you what to do. He's got to drink this ass's milk. There's nothing else that'll cure him. But you tell your father that if he doesn't want to drink ass's milk, the next best thing is to drink goat's milk. And you can drink goat's milk. It's not quite as good as ass's milk, but it'll save his life. But he must drink this. If he doesn't drink the goat's milk, then he'll definitely die. And then you go and bring him ass's milk, and you tell him, you know, it tastes a bit funny, but this is goat's milk. And so, okay. So the son went to the father, and he said, listen, the doctor said that, you know, you don't, if you drink goat's milk, it'll also be okay. So this afternoon, I'm going to bring you, I'm going to bring you some goat's milk, and you'll drink that. So the father said, he was quite an astute old man, he said, sure, yeah, if it's goat's milk, you know, I'm prepared to drink it. But I don't want any funny business, you know. I will want to see you drink some of this goat's milk first. Right? When you've drunk some of the goat's milk, right? When you've drunk some of it, then I will also drink it. So the son had a Shiloh. What can he do? Right? Can he drink this goat's milk? To get his father, who is stubborn, he won't drink it otherwise. And he asked the Shiloh of a Poisig. There was some Poisig called Saruk, I don't know what it was. And he asked, what do I do? Can I drink this ass's milk in order to save my father's life? Now, you would have said, and I would have said, it's Sakonis Nefoshes. So for Sakonis Nefoshes, you can be Mechalel anything, you can drink anything, you can do any issa apart from the three Gimel Averus, Chamuras, you can do anything. But the psak was that he couldn't. He's not allowed to drink the milk. Now, as I say, it's a very, very interesting psak, and it's brought in quite a number of sforim. This psak is brought, and I haven't seen the whole tshuva. I don't know where the whole tshuva can be found. What was the reasoning why you can't drink the goat's milk? Well, I can't drink this ass's milk. And I can see several possibilities. The question is this: first of all, what is the din? If somebody is me'abed atzmo ladas, somebody is prepared to commit suicide, finished, he's had enough of life, doesn't want his life anymore now, and he throws himself in the river, am I mechuyev to save him? Is it a mitzvah of la'ishamer adam recho, of ashevoyse loy, is it a mitzvah to save him? Now, the minchas chinuch, the koimetz mincha, the back of the minchas chinuch, on this mitzvah la'ishamer, he says, if a person throws away his life, doesn't want his life anymore, then there's no mitzvah to save him. The mitzvah is, if he wants his life, he's never shouting, help, please, help me, you've got a chiv to help him. But if he doesn't want your help, he says, leave me alone, listen, I want to die, I've had enough. Right? Then there's no mitzvah to save him. And since the Gemara compares it to a Shabbos Avedah, just as a Shabbos Avedah, right? If I lose my property, or I don't want my property anymore, I've got an old coat, you know, that's been worn out, thing, and finished, I don't need it anymore, I throw it in the garbage, and you pass by, and you see my coat in the garbage, you say, oh, this is Rabbi Freilich's coat, you know, I want to be in the midst of a Shabbos Avedah, and you get out this coat, and you bring it back to me, I say, thank you for nothing, you know, I want to get rid of this, I don't want it anymore, take it, I've thrown it out. I want to be kind of a mitzvah of a Shabbos Avedah. You haven't got any mitzvah of a Shabbos Avedah. If I'm throwing it out myself, then you've got no mitzvah to return to me. So said the chinuch, the mitzvah's chinuch, the minchas chinuch. He says that if somebody is throwing away his life, he doesn't want it, then you've got no mitzvah. If you want to, you can try to save him, but you've got no mitzvah, you've got no chiyuv to save him. So, according to this, we say, listen, this man here, he's told, listen, you've got to drink ass's milk, otherwise you die. And he says, listen, I don't care if I die, I'm prepared to die, I'm not interested, I'm not drinking this. Listen, if he wants to throw away his own life, right? So then, so be it, you know, I'm not mechuyev to save him, and I'm not allowed to be mechalel Shabbos, or to eat treifas, to save somebody who wants to throw away his life. He's not in Sakona, I'm not taking his life, he's not in danger of life. He can save himself if he wants. All he's got to do is drink this donkey's milk. He doesn't want to, and he's finished, I'm not interested, then I've got no chiyuv. Right? That would be according to the minchas chinuch. Obviously, if a person, you know, I'm not talking about a person who is in his fit state of mind. Most cases are when people commit suicide, they're in an imbalance of mind, they can't think clearly what they're doing. That's, of course, different. That's illness. He's a short, he's in a depression. Obviously, in that case, we would have to save him. That's not called throwing away. It's like a short who throws. He's got a good, perfectly good coat, and he just throws it out of the window. He doesn't know what he's doing. Of course, that is a mitzvah of a short. But I'm talking about a normal person. He's fully compos mentis and... Pardon? And you know, he's full in his mind, and he says, listen, I've lived here long enough, I've got nothing to look forward to, I'm just a burden to my children, I've got nothing, you know, what have I got in my life? I've had enough, I want to go. You know, you see, sometimes people at the chasana, they've been for sitting in the chasana for a few hours, say, listen, there's nothing happening, it's a bit boring, I've had enough, I've done my bit, I want to go home. So finish, leave me alone. So the person's clearly thinking like that, so the Milchus kind of says, no, you don't have to save it. Now, Moshe Feinstein, Igles Moshe, says, no, no such a thing. He says, of course you've got to save him. Even if a person has thrown himself in the river, he's in the Sakonis of Hosh, then we've got to save him. Are you save somebody throws away his coat, you don't have to save it, you don't have to give it back. You can't compare. The coat belongs to him. He can do what he wants with his coat. If he wants to throw it out, he says, I don't want it. Sean, you don't want it. I've got no mitzvah to bring it back to you or to force you or to stop you throwing it away. You can do what you want with your property. But your life is not your property. Your life belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you can't throw away the Ribbono Shel Olam's life. You know, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. You've got absolutely no right to throw it away. But Kochato Noilet, about Kochato Mace, the Ribbono Shel Olam puts us into this world. There's a certain time when we have to be born, a certain time we die. We can't go before our time. I can't throw it away. And therefore, I've got no right whatsoever to throw away my life. And therefore, even though he's thrown away his life, we don't take any notice. We have got to save him. So if he's in the river and he's shouting, he says, don't save me. Please, don't pull me out. Don't save me. Or if a person's ill and he has to be operated, he says, don't operate on me. Don't want to spend the money. You know, I'd rather leave the money for my children. You know, I don't want to take such a large sum of money out of my estate. Please, I'm not interested in operation. Let me die. We take no notice of him. We force him, we'll pull him out of the river, and we make him pay still for it. He has to pay, you know, Pan Kochoy. This is... Pardon? So the question is, according to that, can the son drink the milk? Right? Now the point is, that I say, even according to that, it could be that the son can't drink the milk. Because what we're saying is that if somebody has thrown himself in the river himself, he's thrown away his life, right? So then we say, listen, this man is in the Sakonis Nefoshes. You've got to save him. Makes a difference, even though he's thrown away his own life. But here, in the case of the milk, this man is not in Sakonis Nefoshes. Right? He can save his own life. Right? All he's got to do is drink the milk. So he's not being... dying because of an illness, or he's not dying, he's dying because of his own actions.
He could have us to go to Birmingham by car, fetch the milk, bring it here so he can drink it. So why can't you be over at Issa Tefas?
Well, no, it could be, yeah. Yes, no, it could be, yes, it could be, yeah, it could be that you can't even be Mechalel Shabbos for that. The pastor's not in Sakona. At the moment he's not in Sakona, he can save himself. He can save himself. Now he
is
to get the answers made.
He says yes.
To get the answers made. Yeah, sure. Sure. Because no, because if he doesn't drink the answers made, then he will be in the Sakona. But he's got answers made now, and he can drink it. Yeah? So now he says no, so that's he himself saying no. He's not in Sakona, he's putting himself into Sakona. It's not, you see, if he's already thrown himself in the river, so now he's drowning, now I've got to save him. But imagine he's standing on the bank of the river, and he says, I'm going to jump into the river. But imagine a man says, whose son, let's say his son is getting frum, right? He's becoming frum and he won't eat, you know, comes home and he won't eat his mother's chicken soup just because she's bought it at the table butcher. And if she goes up on the roof, she says, I'm going to throw myself off the roof. Unless you eat that chicken soup, I'm going to throw myself off the roof. So is he mechuyev to eat the chicken soup? He's not mechuyev to eat the chicken soup. She can't force him to think, she's in Sakona, she's going to die. No, she's not in Sakona. As long as she's on the roof, she's perfectly safe. And nothing's going to happen to her. So at the moment, she's not the Sakonah. And she's got the possibility to stay on the roof. Right? So it's not the same as a person who's already thrown away his life, that we've got to get it out. So therefore, in that case, it could be that you could still, I can't drink, I can't be over an Aveda. For you, you are able to save yourself. But there is a third shit of the Marie Lay Biskin, and he brings in a tshuva, and he says that even if a person is on the roof, and he says, I'm going to throw, finish, I've had enough of my life, I don't want to live anymore, I'm throwing myself off the roof. And he's able to stay on the roof, but he says he's going to be, see, he means it, and he's going to throw him out. You would be allowed to be Mahalal Shabbos. You quickly bring a ladder, somebody climb up the roof, grab hold of him. You could be Mahalal Shabbos to save him, even though he's still safe, he's not a Sakona yet. But we see he's going to do it. Even in that case, so according to Marie Deskin, you could clear, what about the drinking of the milk? But it could be that even then, in the case of the drinking of the milk, he still wouldn't have to do it, because it's still different. Because a person, who is, you're fetching a ladder, being Mahalal Shabbos, you're doing something, that what you're doing is going to help to save him. That's what saves him. But me drinking trefa milk, that doesn't save him, that doesn't save my father, it's just he's got a mishagas, and he's doing that. Now, okay, so I'm trying to convince him, so there was a case, there's a lot to talk about, and we can go about this for a long time, but it was a case of a woman, one second, let me finish this, I'm short of time, it's a woman on Yom Kippur, she needed to, she was in a Sakona, and the people tell her, you've got to eat. I said, no, Yom Kippur, Chassid Shalom, I can't eat on Yom Kippur. And she was afraid to eat on Yom Kippur. And they thought that the only person who she listened to, there's a big Rav, was on the other side of town, 10 miles away. We'd bring him over in a car, and he'd talk to her, and if he'd managed to convince her, then she would listen. So then you can be Mahalil Yom Kippur, bring him in the car to talk to her. But that's different, right? That this son trying to convince his father that this is goat's milk. Because here, you're trying to do something honestly and sincerely. Yeah? She is taker. Sincerely, she thinks she's not allowed to eat this. It's Yom Kippur, the holiest day. How can I happen to eat this? So she needs somebody to talk to her and to explain to her that it's allowed to. But this man here, he knows that it's allowed to eat ass's milk. And the robbers told him. And he's learned about it. He knows Beduch Nefesh, you can do it. And the Rav says, please, you must think it. But he's a Oyber Chochem. He wants to be Machmir. He thinks, I'm going to do it, I'm going to go to Gan Eden, I'm going to be the biggest thing. He doesn't listen to the Rav. He doesn't listen to his doctor. He doesn't listen to his sons. He doesn't listen to the toilet. He himself is an Oyber Chochem. He wants to do things. That's a wicked thing to do. You're not allowed to do that. So because he's a wicked man, therefore I've got to be Oyber the Surim for that. I don't have to be over the student. Somebody can't threaten me, and force me because he's going to do a mishugada, so therefore I've got to, because of his mishugas. So there's in Lemaisa, it's finished, and all I say is, that it's very nice we talk about these things in the comfort here of start the day. We hope that the thing never actually comes to Lemaisa that we really have to do it, but Lemaisa, if it, such a thing happens, one has to ask a child, because every case is slightly different. No two cases are the same. You need a big poisik, the paskin, these shilas, and if we haven't got time to ask and we've got to act quickly, it's probably best always to err on the side of saving the person's life. If you're wrong, okay, so you've made a mistake, you did your best. Whereas if you don't, and then afterwards he said, oh, I could have been Mahal, I could have saved his life, now he's dead, you can never bring him back to life again. So, this is it. Okay, thank you.